We have a great opportunity for the new year. I'm holding it in my hand. It's kind of hard to hold all these things. But at each of the exits, you'll find a folder that talks about adult Bible fellowship groups. And there are some, I was just kind of thumbing through this. I spend more time with children than I do with adults right now, so I didn't quite look at all of this. There's some great offerings in here. There's some things that will really be good for your life. And so if you just come, we'll give you a donut and a cup of coffee almost all over the building. We're Baptists, you know, you got to eat. And so come and get one of these and look at a class where you'd like to go, be a part, and just enjoy getting to know God better and better as you study the Word with other people. We also have Wednesday night, and that's on the back. I can't turn it like that, little turning of the page. You'll see some Wednesday night offerings. It's a great way to just catch up with other friends in a different format during the middle of the week. Okay? So with that being said, I'm going to put this down. I would like to give you a New Year's challenge. And the New Year's challenge I'd like to give you is this. Who was the person who had the greatest inside condition that ever walked on the face of the earth? You have a name for him? You got it, Jesus. And here's the beauty. I had a great time talking to Graham. You all are so blessed to have him in your family. Wow, what a neat guy. And I was talking to him like he was a senior in college instead of still in high school. But, you know, you talk about the opportunity God gives us, and that is to live in a way where He will personally transform our inside condition. He will come and make a difference in us. That's because for those of us who receive Jesus, He takes out the old heart, that hard, willful, full of self-will and self-loathing and all those self things that we know. He pulls that out, and instead He puts His Spirit in us so that we can come to life. And there is a way to cooperate with the Spirit in your life. I'm going to give you some hints, but really the work is up to you. And the way to do that is to learn by reading what Jesus did and what Jesus said. So you can look at what He did and what He said in four books in the New Testament, and they are... That's it, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. The first four books of the New Testament. I had a friend one time, I said, read Matthew and then go to Mark. And he came back to me and said, well, Mark says the same thing as Matthew. And I wanted to kick him and say, dummy, read it anyway. You know, so just Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And you will find, yes, there are some similar things being said, but get the whole thing. Just like you listen to a quartet. So, well, I just only want to hear the tenors. No, hear them all, okay? So my challenge to you is to learn from Jesus by reading a little bit of Matthew. And read it, start with chapter 1 and read it all the way to the end, chapter 28. I was telling Graham, skip over some of chapter 1 unless you're into genealogies. Rudy Ross will cover chapter 1 for you, okay? But just get to the good stuff. Sorry, Rudy. Just start and read, okay? Fair enough? So that being said, What do you learn if you will get into there? First thing you're going to learn is that Jesus learned about His mission. And so this is a picture of Jesus being baptized, chapter 3. And most people believe that Jesus learned His mission in life when He was baptized. Whether that's so or not, we'll find out when we get to heaven. My question for you is, do you know your mission? Do you know why God has put you on this earth? Have you thought about it? Wouldn't it be a tremendous thing for you to stop and to say, Lord, as I enter 2017, why did you put me here? What am I here for? All right? Just wait until you know that. The second thing that you're going to find out is Jesus was, right after He knew His mission, He was tempted. And that is going to be something that happens to all of us about our mission in life. In our mission in life, those temptations come along to get us diverted. And so your inside condition is not going to be any better than how you face the next temptation that you have. You need to hear that. You know, there's an old story that you've heard me say maybe 100 times, and that is there's the guy who said, you know, I got to deal with God. He likes to forgive and I like to sin. And that is the entirely wrong way to approach temptation. So today we will be watching the Chiefs and the Chargers play, and there'll be some rooting for the Chargers, and there'll be some rooting for the Chiefs. There you are. And there's no player on the field who wants to fumble the ball today. Nobody says, you know, today I think it'd be a great day to fumble the ball and give it to the opponents, right? But there are times when we approach temptation just like that. We say, you know, if I fumble, okay, God will forgive me. The truth is your fumble is a loss, and you're giving the ball over to the other team. And yes, you can overcome, but you still have fumbled the ball. You become on the inside like how you handle temptation. We need to hear that. It is not something light and easy to play with. You become like that. That affects your inside condition. I told the first early morning crowd a story of a lady who is maybe one of the most miserable women I've ever been around. Another church, obviously wouldn't be in Independence. There's another place in the world. But I remember visiting her in a nursing home. She rolled her wheelchair up to the nurse's desk, and she just uttered some of the most negative, vile, stinking, horrible talk you could ever imagine. And this is my pastor. And I thought, oh, no, I'm not your pastor. I wanted to go hide somewhere. Now, that lady in that moment didn't decide to become some ugly old woman. She'd been practicing all her life. She had been that way as a young woman and as a middle-aged woman, and now she's an old woman like that. You don't get to be ugly on the outside just because one day you decide to be that way. You practice it. And the way you practice it is how you handle temptation. And so when you're tempted to be negative, when you're tempted to be narrow, when you're tempted to be ugly, when you're tempted to be judgmental and critical and all those things, realize that when you give into that, you are giving into an inside condition that's going to look like that. I put together some notes for the early crowd because I didn't think we'd have as many people. We had a great crowd early. I put together some notes, and I put in there, I said, you can't live in heaven and give out hell all the time. All right? And so if you think you're on the way to heaven, and yet everybody around you think, man, you smell like smoke, pal, okay, you need to look at that. And you need to look at your inside condition and say, is this it? Now, the beauty is God wants to put us on a pathway. This is not instant accomplishment. I told Graham when he was baptized, I said, Graham, you're not going to instantly become a saint. But as you live with the Lord and you do what we're talking about here, and as we all do this, as we live with the Lord and we spend time learning from him about his inside condition, he will make us more and more like him. And the best thing is, it's a great way to live. So that's a whole lot about temptation. We haven't gotten to a couple of things. And I may not get all the way through my points. I'm watching the clock. Y'all are okay. You're safe. All right. So if you will start in Matthew and you start reading, you'll come to a place called the Beatitudes. And the Beatitudes are a section in chapter 5. Matthew 5, 6, and 7 is the Sermon on the Mount. You could spend a lifetime there. You could spend quite a while there. Don't rush through this. Just spend some time. And so the very first Beatitude, those are the people who are blessed. That's what's meant by Beatitude. People who are blessed who are poor in spirit. I have about 10 books on the Sermon on the Mount, and all 10 of my authors have a different opinion about what it means to be poor in spirit. And I hope you come up with what you believe God has told you about being poor in spirit. But I'd like for you to think of poor in spirit like the picture I've got behind me here. And that is, my hands are open. God, I have opened my hands to you in 2017. And Lord, I just want to say, I'm not clutching on to myself. I'm not clutching on to my self-will. I'm not holding tightly to this little treasure I've got tucked away over in a corner of my life that I don't want anybody to know about. Lord, my hands are open. Lord, to follow you means I literally follow you. And so I'm not going to go so far and draw a line and say, God, I'm not going to pass this line. No further. Lord, you can't have this in my life. No, my hands are open to you. When I do marriage prep counseling with folks, one of the things I say to them is, if you have a giving heart to one another, you can't lose. You may have difficulties and you may have troubles and you may have heartaches, but if you have a heart that's willing to give, you can't lose. I will tell you right now, this verse, if you open your hands to God, you cannot lose, all right? You will have ups and you'll have downs and you'll have dry spells and you'll have glorious spells. You'll have all of those things taking place in your life. But if you are open to God, he can take you anywhere he wants you to go, and he will be with you all the way. So, good enough for that? So as you read, here's what's going to happen. You read and you pray and you read and you pray. When you've read some of this, say, Lord, what does it mean for me to be poor in spirit? What does it look like in my life? Lord, how do I overcome? Go back to the last verse. How do I overcome temptation? Lord, what have you called me to be? Can you see how that works out? And so, listen, you can hear me preach it, but it's so much better when you get it directly from the Lord. When you and he are in that quiet moment and you are communing with him and you say, okay, God, let's do business today. What does this mean for my life today? How can I live it out? What you will find is that over time, this will begin to affect your life. It's not instant. It's not microwave popcorn, but it's just that slow growth with God. Fair enough? Let's do the next one. Now, be a little quicker on this. The next one is, blessed are those who mourn. I could have skipped that verse, but I thought I'd put it in there. There is no place in the Bible where Jesus says, hey, you follow me, you'll have a great day. All right? You follow me, you're not going to have a problem. I shared earlier one of my songs that I used to listen to by Janis Joplin, Lord, won't you give me a Mercedes-Benz? My friends drive Porsches. Won't you make amends? God's not into that. All right? Just wanted you all to know, I have yet to have somebody pull up with a Mercedes and say, Bob, God told me to give you this. All right, Matthias, just wanted you to know, once you make it big with the Follow Me Construction Company, come by and see me, all right? All right. So, all of that being said, what does God say to us? He says to us, if you follow me, deny yourself, take up your cross, then follow me, all right? One guy put it extremely well. He said, the cost of not following Jesus, I found in my life, to be far greater than the cost of following him. And there are a lot of you here today who say that. When I was out away from God, I didn't have a home and I didn't have a life and my body was getting destroyed and I kept going in and out of jail and all the other stuff. And so the cost of following Jesus compared to that, there's a cost. But it's not anything like that cost. I put this up here just to remind us that we're not going through a cakewalk with God, all right? There still is life to be lived. But you hold your hand open to God, he's going to take you on the way. Let's get another one here. How about the second mile map for life? Jesus gave us some pretty strong words. He does not make life easy for us. And so when you read this, Jesus is going to say, if somebody hits you on one side of the face, give them the other one to try. That's a tough one. For folks who have lived their lives dealing with disrespect and not, you know, hey, you can't disrespect me. You're not going to disrespect me. To turn the other cheek is extremely difficult. I had a lot of discussions with Josh Monk about that, because when Josh, in his former life, he never got disrespected. You know, somebody else got put in the penny seats and he went back, you know, back to jail. So disrespect is hard. I remember one time when he had been disrespected, and he was working so hard with that. You could just see the soul torment in his life. I've been disrespected. My natural instinct is to knock that guy out, and yet he wouldn't do it. And he had to struggle with it. But here's what he said to me. He said, Jesus living in me cannot let me do that to him. And it was hard. It was difficult. And I'm not saying that any of this stuff is easy for you, okay? It is not easy. And yet we need to wrestle with it. Okay, Lord, if I'm following you, what does it look like for me to follow you and go the second mile with somebody who has offended me? Let me give you just a thought about that. If you beat the devil with the devil's tricks, you have to become a bigger devil than the devil. All right? If you use his weapons, you have to have worse weapons than his weapons. And Jesus has a different way. There's a room full of people who are here on New Year's Day who stayed up late on New Year's Eve to worship Jesus, not because God kicked you around and said, "You loser, I hate you." But rather because Jesus said in you, the way I'm going to defeat you, my enemy, is by making you my friend. And the Lord asks us in the second mile path of life to do the same thing. He says not for us to give the way the world gives, but to give the way Jesus gives. There's nobody who had a bigger second mile ministry than God himself. And you look at the cross, and you see Jesus hanging between heaven and earth, being treated by his very own creation, the worst that humanity could give anybody, saying, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they're doing." And it wasn't too many weeks later that 3,000 people came to follow Jesus, and not far after that, 5,000 came to follow Jesus. And I'm sure some of those people were around the cross, and they heard him pray that prayer, and they walked away from the cross thinking, "Oh, God, what did I do?" And God said, "Here, I'll go the second mile with you. Come and become my child." Folks, that's worthy of an amen. I mean, we serve a tremendous God who has done that for us. So as you take your time and you read through the Bible, you take your time and you let it become real to you, he is going to challenge you. He's going to challenge you how you think, and he's going to challenge you how you pray, and it is not going to be easy. It is not a goal that one day you say, "Hey, I got it." But rather, it's going to be a pathway that you walk. Lord, show me the way. All right? This is not easy stuff. So let's get more. How about the problem of stuff that we live by? So let me hang on a minute. Thank you very much. A $5 bill. This is mine. You can't have it. I've got it. It is mine. You can't take it from me. It is in my hand. It is tight. I've got a pretty good grip. You can't have it. Fabulous. It's really hard to do this with my money and open my hand, like I said a minute ago, with God. Some of us have made our money like that. No, five's okay. But when you get bigger than a five, when you get to the real stuff, this is mine. I think about it all the time. And if I don't have it, I think about the fact I don't have it all the time. It consumes me. I cannot be consumed by wealth and have my inside condition connected with God. All right? This is not to say everybody go out and sell everything you got and come. You know, we're not talking about that. But we are talking about having your hand open. We're talking about an inside condition. And if I am consumed by what I possess or what I don't possess and want to possess, if I'm consumed by that sort of stuff, the Lord doesn't have an open pathway to my heart. And we want to do that. So I just so encourage you to think about what you live by. And let me just zip through this a bit, and then we're going to give you a chance to respond. This is the last thought. The last thought is we have to have an inner and an outer life. And there's a caution, all sorts of caution tape there, because you can go one way or the other and have a problem. We're looking for balance. And so the person who runs over here and it's all about service and giving and giving and giving and giving, that person after a while dries up. And they have nothing left to give. And the person over here who spends all their time in study and contemplation, They're like a sponge. A sponge can only hold so much, and they get it filled up, and they've got to have something that's new and more exciting and more interesting and more and more and more, because they're saturated. So there's a wonderful balance of this floating inward and outward, inward and outward. You fuel yourself up on the inside to go out on the outward world. And when you're out here, you realize, oh man, God, how I need you. And you run back over here and you get connected with him. So then you can go back over. Y'all understand that? So here's my New Year's challenge for you. My New Year's challenge is this. Make a decision. Make a decision. Make a decision that you and the Lord are going to meet, and you are going to learn from the greatest teacher and the greatest being who knew the most about abundant living of any person that ever walked on the earth, because he had the greatest inside condition. Let him work on your inside condition in 2017. Spend some time every day, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, one chapter after another chapter after another chapter. Take some time and feed on him, all right? And he's going to give you things that challenge the socks off of you. He'll give you some things that bless the socks off of you. Take them both, all right? And let him make your life new. It's a pathway. All right, fair enough. Let's go ahead and stand. Worship team's going to head this way. We'll have folks up here who'd love to pray with you. Let's make some real decisions right now, okay? Fair enough. Lord, we thank you so much. Thank you for your grace, and thank you for your love and all of your help. Lord, we thank you that you love us enough that you engage us so that we can have abundant and full life. Lord, thank you for that. We invite you now just to come and to work with us. Lord, we invite you to come and to speak to us and get us on a pathway in this new year. Get us on a pathway to have our inside condition like you want it to be and we want it to be. Thank you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.